Sandy, you ready? Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting and Regular Public Education Board of Education Meeting for July 17th, 2018. Call to order opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice that this meeting has been provided by publication in Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Sandy, roll call, please.
Mr. Baldwin.
Yes.
Mrs. Bassan.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mrs. De Palma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore. Mr. Hobbit. Mr. LaFretta. Mrs. McGarry.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serena. Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Warren.
Here.
We have quorum.
Our mission statement, the Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Our statement to the public, oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, in many cases by unanimous vote. Before matters placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. The superintendent of schools is satisfied the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education and is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it's placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting the final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of June 12, 2018. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reason for discussing and acting on the matter at closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept and approve the minutes from June 12th? Mr. Warren, do we have a second? Mr. Baldwin, any questions on the minutes? Sandy.
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassan?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
We have no student board representative to make a report this evening, and that brings us to number 8, presentations. This evening we only have one presentation, and that is by Mr. Robert Notley of New Road Construction, who will provide us with a project update for the referendum projects. Mr. Notley.
Good evening, Mr. Connery.
Good evening. It's great to see you.
Good to see you, folks. Greetings to board members and member of the public. Brief update on the last month of construction activity. The overall referendum budget remains the same, a little over $12 million. Overall program summary, we have moved into the second summer of construction. High school additions and renovations is moving along nicely. We're still showing a contractual completion date of end of December, early January. However, we believe the contractor is going to finish before that contractual completion date. We are awaiting a schedule update from the contractor, hopefully affirming our belief. Elementary school site work is not quite underway, but he has got all his construction equipment on site, and the storm drainage structures are now on site, and the playground equipment has been delivered. Elementary school media center renovation is the project that we are performing through a series of small individual contracts. New Road is coordinating the work of all of those separate contractors. And the high school alternative ed building renovation is well underway and is scheduled to complete next month, in August.
Can you go back to the site work, the elementary school? When do we think that's going to get rolling?
I'll get to that
okay.
slide. But he did bring the earth moving equipment onto site today. The latest correspondence we've had with him is that they will actually start pushing dirt around on Monday or Tuesday of next week. Elementary school HVAC controls project, no change to what we talked about a month ago. We're still waiting on a proposal from CAP, that was GC, for the high school additions and renovations, to prepare a proposal to modify some of the hot water piping in the A-wing of the elementary school, replacement of hot water cert pumps. When we get that price, we'll evaluate it and see whether that's something that the district wants to move forward with. Elementary school site improvements. As I noted, the playground equipment has been delivered to the site. Norway is the contractor on this job. They've provided about 95% of the submittals, color selections, which are pretty limited on this project. Basically, the retaining wall block selection and the color of the rubber surface for the playground area. Those color selections have been made by the school district. Storm drainage piping and structures and the retaining wall block have all been delivered to the site. The contractor has come out and made his utility markouts, and his surveyor has also come out and done the survey work in preparation to begin that work. Site demo and clearing scheduled to begin July 23rd.
And then how long will they be here from the 23rd?
His substantial completion date is August 24th.
So it'll be okay.
And then once that work is completed, although the fields are being sodded as part of this contract, there's an irrigation system in place. The civil engineer and New Road, civil engineer being Edwards Engineering, will discourage the use of those fields for at least one growing season to allow the sod to establish itself. Elementary school media center renovations. Joe McDermott is on site. He's coordinating individual contracts for demo of the ceiling installation, the electrical work, flooring, which is carpet and VCT, and painting. The existing furnishings have been removed by school district personnel. Ceiling demo has been completed, and the new ceiling grid installation is underway. They're about 20% complete. Electrical demo work is underway, about 65% complete. The furniture delivery from Figus is scheduled for late August, and the lighting fixtures are scheduled to arrive in about 2 weeks. That project is on schedule. We're confident that will be completed before the end of the summer in time for the beginning of the new school year. High school construction projects. The smaller project is the alternative ed building renovations. Just a little under $200,000, $195,000 contract with Shorelands. Big breakthrough last week. We were able to finally get a construction permit from the borough. Work had slowed down a little bit because the contractor couldn't advance too far without actually having the permits. We needed to get some inspections done. That permit has now been obtained, and the first few inspections have taken place. Interior framing is complete. Exterior sheathing has been complete. The construction official for the borough has inspected that exterior sheathing and has given the contractor the go-ahead to begin putting vinyl siding onto the building. Most of the HVAC equipment has been installed. A couple pieces of ductwork have been hung, but the electrical work to connect that HVAC equipment will begin next week. Again, that project is to be completed before the end of the summer in time for the new school year, and we're very confident that that will happen. The largest project in the referendum is the high school renovations and additions. $6.96 million contract with Kappa. All of the CMU block construction is complete. The vapor barrier has been applied to the block. That was that beautiful shaded green. It was probably causing some distress among the members of the public, thinking that we're getting a big green addition to the high school. That was a vapor barrier that was applied to the CMU. That is now being hidden by the brick veneer, which is underway. About 20% of the brick veneer is up in place, and the cast stone installation at the window ledges, and there's a cast stone band. That cast stone installation will begin next week. The rubberized membrane roof has been applied to the building addition. HVAC equipment installation is well underway. All of the ductless split system units, the cabinet unit heaters and the exhaust fans have been installed. Ductwork installation is continuing throughout the building. Second floor mains are now underway. The ground floor and first floor mains are complete. Electrical run-in is almost complete, and now feeders are being run to sub-paneled receptacle switches and lights throughout the first floor. Interior door frames have been installed. Most of the interior framing is now complete. All of the structural steel erection is complete. Both sets of stairs, A and B, have been installed, and the project is currently 50.0% complete. An estimated 50%, actually 50% complete in terms of installed cost. And that work, as I said earlier, is contractually required to be complete early January 2019. We believe the contractor will be finished. I don't want to really say until we see his updated schedule, but we're thinking towards the end of November. Substantial completion. Change management, no new change orders for the board tonight. The project unforeseen condition allowance is at $102,263 from an original balance of $125,000. A couple of progress photos. The two top photos are the storm drainage structures and the storm drainage grates for the elementary school parking lot repair that's going to be done. The bottom pictures show interior framing on the first floor and the second floor of the high school addition. Brick veneer is underway at the high school addition. You can see in the picture that's on the top right that the ground floor brick veneer is well underway. Photo on the bottom left shows the EPDM roof. That installation was, that picture was taken in progress. The contractor is very close to having the building weathertight from a construction standpoint. It's going to temporarily put polyplastic up over the window openings. Once the building is weathertight, that allows a lot of other trades to start to do their work, insulators, flooring. The building has to be conditioned before we can start some of the final finishes like paint. But getting that building weathertight is an important milestone to open up a lot of other construction progress that can move forward. Current activities, New Road continues to be on site full time. We're conducting bi-weekly construction meetings with Kappa, Your Way, and Shorelands. As I said, we're coordinating the trades that are working on the media center renovation of the elementary school, and we're also administering a contract with CM3 for the access controls at the elementary school. CM3 is going to be delivering cable on Friday morning, and Coastal, who's their subcontractor, will begin cable installation next week. So we have a very busy summer going on right now, but very happy with the progress that the various contractors are making. Any questions? Sir?
With respect to the HVAC equipment installation on the high school side?
Yes.
Do you know offhand what parts of the building are not covered under this particular installation?
The installation, well, the referendum scope was obviously for the building addition and the 1961 portion of the building. So the contractor has actually got full run of the gym right now in the 61 wing. Mm-hmm. So the sprinkler pipe is going in there. The old air handling units were demoed in the last couple of weeks. New rooftop units are going up onto the gym. The contractor actually had made all of these structural steel modifications that he needed to make during the last break before the end of the school year.
It doesn't sound like there are parts of the building that are not covered.
Obviously, the newer portions right. of the building and the oldest 31 wing, we're not doing anything in there from an HVAC standpoint.
Okay.
But,
okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
What's a vapor barrier?
I'm sorry?
What's a vapor barrier?
It's not quite a waterproofing level, but the The walls on the addition are what's known as a double-wide wall construction, so you've got a CMU, concrete masonry unit block wall. That wall gets arched, so it gets covered with like a, almost like a plaster, and then the vapor barrier goes on top of the plaster, and then there's an air gap, and then the brick veneer goes in front of that vapor barrier. So that's intended to limit water vapor transmission. The outside brick is not waterproof, it's water permeable. So there is, it's basically just to keep water vapor from then going through the concrete masonry units.
Okay.
And if you don't properly put a vapor barrier in place, you end up with the evidence of that is typically you start to see the paint kind of bubble off of the walls, the interior paint. It's referred to as efflorescence.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Sure.
So you're saying when you put the elementary field in,
mm-hmm.
we should stay off it for a year? That's your recommendation?
No, for the first growing season, which is the fall.
Okay.
So come spring. I mean, it's really up to the district to decide
right.
when they want to use it. But the recommendation from the civil engineer, and we concur with that recommendation, is to allow that field to establish itself for the growing season.
So if you put it in August, probably play baseball on it in the spring?
In the spring, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I okay. certainly wouldn't recommend using it for fall sports. You want to allow that sod, you want the roots to go down below into all of the new topsoil that's being spread out there. If the sod isn't given a chance to establish,
mm-hmm.
You're probably not going to look at a really nice looking field come next summer.
I have a question about the brick. So the brick veneer is actually not a full size brick.
Oh, it is.
It is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Because you're saying veneer, I'm thinking.
No, it's not.
Right.
It's not like a glue-on brick
yes.
veneer.
Okay.
It is an actual
brick
wall.
Okay.
There's an air gap between that brick wall and the concrete block wall.
Right. Block. It. Okay.
Yeah.
And did we add a month to the schedule? Weren't
no.
we supposed to be done in December or no?
No.
Or are we still going towards the end
well,
of December?
Well, we're actually. Believing that the contractor is going to be finished sometime in November.
Oh, okay.
But
you're just leaving that
yeah,
as. Okay.
But the contractual completion date, I believe, was January 19th.
19th, okay.
Any other questions? One of the things I'd like you to focus on before we leave, and I want to thank you for your due diligence. I think the project's been going very clean, and I've just been watching just to make sure that the due diligence continued, and you've been very professional, as Joe has, and I want to thank you for that. And because you are on site and on task, both with the budget and with the contractor himself, things are moving in a direction we were probably going to finish the project early, which is great. But getting back to the brick pattern,
yes.
and I know this was a focus for us, but I just want to remind the board about the process that we use, because it's very possible that the front of that building is going to be finished within the next 20 days. I watched them, they're working diligently and it's going up there. But there's a definite difference between the pattern that the bricks on the old building have in regards to the grout section and the way the bricks were put in,
yes.
and the pattern that we've chosen for this building. And this building's pattern was chosen to match the brick that was left on top of the gymnasium that's there.
Yes.
And we had several times we met to look at that. So I just, if you could focus on the type of pattern that's on the old building
yeah.
and the type of patterns on the new building. I just wanted to remind everybody that we chose this to happen because the other one was too expensive, I think.
Yeah, the 1931 section of the building, that brick pattern is what's known as a Flemish bond. And the addition to correspond with the original 1961 construction is what's known as a running bond. The difference between Flemish bond and running bond, the brick sizes are the same, but in Flemish bond, every third brick is a half brick. So it's almost as if you took a brick and turned it 90 degrees, but what you're doing is cutting a brick in half. It creates kind of a unique look, but Flemish bond is a rather painstaking and expensive masonry process. And we did entertain a potential change order from the contractor to use a Flemish bond. It was cost prohibitive from a referendum budget standpoint. But what you're getting is true to the fabric of the 1960 or the 1961 portion of the building, as opposed to trying to blend it and match it with the 1931 portion of the building.
So it's exactly the same as was there before.
Yes.
It's just more of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And the alternate school building will be finished by the middle of August.
August 24th is the contractual completion date. Contractor, that I'm very pleased with the progress that Shorelands has made. They jumped right into this project as soon as the building was available to them. The only thing that slowed them down, as I said earlier, was the lack of a construction permit.
Mm-hmm.
They had done rough-in on plumbing and had done interior framing, but we needed to get those inspections done before we could proceed.
Is there any, I know you can, is it plausible for you to speak to the engineer, site engineer over at the elementary school, giving us a time period that's more conducive to us in regards to having that field be played on? I know in best case scenarios, waiting a whole season is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I know with the football field that we did, the multi-purpose field, we didn't wait an entire season. I believe we waited 6 weeks.
Approximately, yes.
And it took pretty good. So
6-8 maybe, I think, at the most.
Yeah, I mean, some of that is going to be, you know, controlled by a higher authority. We can only hope for the best as far as weather goes. If we have a, you know, brutally hot fall, you know, you're probably not going to get much in the way of establishment. However, having an irrigation system out there is certainly going to help. The amount of irrigation needs to be carefully controlled, because if you over irrigate, the roots don't really have something that's telling them go deeper. So, you know, Matt is going to have to be careful with irrigation patterns, and I'm sure that Bill Edwards will go through that with him. I think what we could look at, and I would defer to Bill Edwards and Beth Kenderdine from Edwards Engineering, is sometime mid-fall, maybe, you know, take up a few small areas and see how we're doing from a root propagation standpoint.
I think it's perfect. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that. Rob, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Who gets the power?
Brings us to number 9, discussion items for the agenda for education, curriculum, and technology. We'll turn it over to Dr. Cajun.
Well, as the board knows, we're moving towards a new schedule. And as we speak, it seems to be one of the challenges that we have for the new schedule. And I know that Barbara Prince is going to focus on a handout that you have in regards to the daily rotation calendar. Is going to be the professional development of the staff that comes in, which we are working at, as well as scheduling, having students have a completed schedule by August 15th. And as we speak, we have about 7% of our junior and senior classes do not have a completed schedule. However, we have the guidance counselors who will be coming in for 10 days to work with students between the last week in July and the first week in August, that 10-day period, to ensure that all schedules are completed by August 15th. So in case you hear something about a child not having a completed schedule because they didn't complete it, we have our guidance counselors will be here to work with them. I've met with the building principal several times. We've met as an administrative leadership team to look at what are our major roadblocks right now in regards to having a clean opening. And it seems like, and you can focus on this also, Barbara, if you want, when your time comes, but the information I'm receiving is that It's the completed schedule. Now, if we're looking at 7% of our juniors and seniors not having a completed schedule, to me, it's not a challenge. For the entire student body, it's about 166 students who don't have a completed schedule. And Jesse, off the top of your head, 166 students not having a completed schedule, ballpark me with a percentage of the staff, 17%? I'll take that. That's good. Probably about 17%. So having said that, I think that we're in a good spot. I mean, if I was sitting here tonight saying there's about 50% of the student body that don't have completed schedules, I'm going to say, oof, I better get on that. However, if that's our biggest challenge, I believe we can meet that. The second challenge that we have for the...
Can you just go back? Why aren't the schedules completed?
There's several answers to that question. And it's according to the individual student. Some students decided that they wanted to take a half a year class in one of our academies and didn't come up with a choice for the second half of the year because they didn't know which one they wanted to choose, not knowing that they needed to fill both because we don't have study halls anymore. They just don't exist. We have personal learning environments where students can opt for that. We don't have a study hall. Or special education. There are some special education students who don't have completed schedules because of the child study team needing to meet.
Eric Hoffman, the guidance counselor who's in right now working on schedules, went through the list of students who did not have complete schedules, and I met with him today, and near each student's name he wrote what the issue was. And I would say there were at least 20 students who were vocational students. So although the computer picks up their schedule as incomplete, it's not incomplete because they're only in the building either in the morning or the afternoon. So he went through it and really identified where the issues were. And one of them was what Dr. Cajun said. They took a course in the fall, but the paired up class they've already taken in the academy. So we have to find another class for them. And then, I mean, those were the major issues. So I think the fix is relatively easy. And it's just, you know, and I think when I saw the number of vocational students, that was reassuring that, yes, the computer says it's incomplete, but it's not incomplete.
Now, are these first year issues with the new schedule, or are these issues that come up every year?
No,
this is the first year.
This is the first year, so that we do the pairings correctly, and we'll know where the pitfalls are and fix them, and it shouldn't happen again.
Gotcha.
But one thing I would like to see every year is the schedule scrapped, not the framework of the schedule, schedule itself scrapped and rebuilt according to the needs of our student population. That's something that we have never experienced here. When Elliot Mirrenbloom was here, that was his biggest criticism. And it's more laborious and more time consuming, and it brings us more into the summer than in the past. But I think it's better for us as an organization and for the students to see the reality of exactly what they're taking, what their needs are, and to rebuilding it every year. So, and with that, the second challenge that we have, it's not a stumbling block, just a challenge. We're currently in negotiations, which is going to be easier for us to facilitate the new schedule with our negotiations being finished and the language being there. Having said that, we can still do the new schedule with the current language that's in the contract. And we'll talk about that tonight in executive a little bit. Not to say that there aren't a couple words there that are stumbling blocks, but you'll see that we can still do that. So I'm only saying that for your benefit in case you've heard things in the community about the schedules not moving where it should be. We're all set. The classes are there, the courses are there. Students can, from meeting with their guidance counselor, can get all the classes they were looking at. Some can take 10 classes instead of all students are going to take 8, some are taking 10. They don't have to take 10, but if they're taking half-year classes, they can. So I just wanted to focus that as we're moving forward with regards to education. Technology, I'm sure Jesse's going to focus on, or maybe not, distribution of the new, not tablets, but new laptops that we have, that they had, with compliments to Jesse, that he had a student committee choose the instrument of use for technology that we'll be utilizing this year. That was awesome at the top of my head, wasn't it? Policies for revision. school district technology devices to pupils. We have that on there because there's a slight change in it, so could you please let us know what the change is?
Sure.
So this is agenda number 37. It's also there as document K. So we have a policy, obviously, that's been existing since the beginning of the one-to-one program, which basically pertains to how governs, you know, how students use our devices and, you know, what the ramifications are if they lose them or damage them or things like that. The changes that I'm recommending really tie into what I spoke about last month, which is related to how we're financing, right, the new devices or how we're purchasing the new devices that we're getting. So in the last lease, right, in the last purchase that we've done for devices, we did not purchase accidental warranties on them. Okay, our feeling at the time was it's cheaper for us to buy parts, right, our own. We repair them ourselves anyway. So we'll just basically charge the student or the parent for the replacement part if, you know, they don't pay the $50 technology use fee. With the new devices that we're getting in this new lease, we've purchased the accidental warranty, all right? And the reason for that is because what we found in the last round of this basically was, especially after the first year and the second and especially the third year, it's getting almost impossible for us to be able to source these parts from various vendors. You know, the manufacturers don't really want you to do that. They want you to buy the accidental warranty up front. So that's what we did. So anyway, the policy as it currently stands would have said, and you can see, you know, in the policy what it says, that the parent or the pupil would have to reimburse us for the cost of the part. Well, that's not really true anymore because there is no cost of the part. We've already kind of paid for that warranty up front. I couldn't produce a bill that says this is how much we paid for a part in the new lease. We still want to incentivize people to pay the $50 use fee, which almost 85% of our students and parents do. But anyway, it's a simpler model, what I've proposed there, which basically says tech use fee stays the same. You know, we're still going to have the $50 fee that covers the damage. Should you elect not to pay that, should you elect to waive that, basically there's a fee schedule there of what a repair would cost. And that's, as it says, you know, a broken or cracked screen would be $100, a cracked frame $80, keyboard $80, cosmetic or other damage $70. So it's still incentivizing people to pay the $50 because those prices are higher, of course, but it does not, you know, is not cost prohibitive. And it gives us a defensible way of saying, look, this is what the fine is as opposed to what the part would cost because, again, the part doesn't technically cost anything anymore. Yeah.
Have we ever given consideration to just letting the students use their own devices?
We have. I mean, since the beginning of the program, I mean, we talked about a bring your own device type program.
Right.
I think, especially at the time, you know, and I would say probably still today, the reasons against it are really more educational, right? So that in a classroom, you know, where a teacher is trying to teach a lesson of something or have students engaged in a particular activity, it becomes very difficult for that teacher to be able to manage slash support, right, the variety of devices that they would have in that room. It also runs into a little bit of an equity problem, right? You know, certainly some families could afford to have the best and the most amazing device. Others might not. You know, they're going to get the device from us that says property of Manasquan School District on it, you know, as opposed to what somebody else might have. So I think that plays into it. And also from a technology support perspective, you know, it's very tricky for us to be able to support devices that we don't own. Because we certainly can't take that much further. So, you know, imagine, you know, in a school day scenario, well, two kids in this class of 20 have their device not working. You know, if it's our device, we can easily support it, or we have a procedure in place for that. If it's their own device, I'm uncomfortable with what we would be able to do to really assist with that. So I think those are the main reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving, are we good with that now?
Yep.
Moving from that to the disclosure and view of applicants' employment history, I'll be turning to our human resource officer to discuss exactly where we are with that.
Sure. So this is a new policy for a law that went into effect June 1st. So we've actually already been implementing this since then. This is the policy that came out to be in compliance with that law. Effectively, what it says is that for any new hire after June 1st, we are required to first ask them for any employers that they've previously had in the last 20 years where they had contact with children. They have to fill out a form for us that They list those employers. They authorize us to contact those employers to find out if they were ever the subject of a child abuse or neglect, child abuse or sexual misconduct investigation in those prior employers. We are obligated to contact each one of those employers to confirm that they were not. That can be easy when it's another school district in New Jersey that understands, what we're doing. It can be difficult when it's out of state or another kind of employer that, even in New Jersey that isn't necessarily subject to the law. We've been working through it with Mr. Gross's guidance, but this is the policy that basically codifies what we're doing to be in compliance with that law.
Thank you. moving towards the reallocation of state aid for 2018-2019, and in the paper there were several articles about districts that got more aid, districts got the same aid, districts that lost aid. We were sort of held at the same level, didn't get any more aid or any less, but there was, in the paper, and I'm going to ask Lynn to explain this, in one article I read, it said that we were amongst a group of schools that received $96,000 more in aid.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah. But that aid
that's
was
not true?
No, well, it is true. Always. We received that before. So that was already in our general, I'm sure Lynn can be more eloquent about this than I can. But so that was sort of true, but really not true.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why we have that on the agenda tonight. Lynn?
So exactly what Dr. Cajun said. We were in this most recent reallocation of aid, which happened at the end of last week. We were one of the districts that were held harmless. But it was reported that we received 15.42% increase, which was $96,341. That was our original increase going back to the springtime when we submitted our tentative budget to the county office for review. That aid was already in that budget.
So we were
held completely harmless the second,
okay.
second reallocation. Or the second allocation.
Yeah, because they made it seem like, oh, we got
they
this
did.
Extra. Yeah.
I was real excited. I called in right away, so we got another 96.
That's what I thought. I'm like, right?
No.
I was spending that already on books.
He was. That's true.
I figured you had it spent right.
For the students.
Yeah, exactly. And then also, I'd just like to speak about our transportation motion, number 14, which is on page 3. Because we share these routes with other school districts, it won't be later into the summer that most will be able to have our actual billing to us. So the motion, every summer we put the motion on twice, once without the dollar amounts, and then when we have the dollar amounts, we put it on the agenda one more time for approval with the route costs. So I just wanted to let you know why those dollars are not there. And then under building and grounds, I just would like to speak, Rob spoke about all of the projects that we have going on this summer. At the district level, we do have one smaller project that we're handling, and that's the reconfiguration of the Industrial Arts Building, which is behind the Board of Education building. So over the next few weeks, we'll be working to reconfigure that building in preparation of the woodworking class that will begin in September. The existing art room in that building will become the woodworking room because the electric that is needed for the woodworking equipment is on that side of the building. The art room will then be moved to the current weight room, which is in that same building on the opposite side. So basically, it'll be flipped to the opposite side. The current weight room will be relocated to the other side of the street, to the warehouse, which the facilities department has emptied. Since this is a newly classified instructional space, I've made a phone call to the county office to ask the county BA, Mr. Joy, to come down and do a pre-walkthrough of the space that we anticipate putting the weight room in. Normally he would come down in August and do a walkthrough of all of our instructional spaces, but we're asking him to do an additional one to give us any feedback on the space as we're working over the next few weeks to accomplish this.
Where did you say it was going?
Into the warehouse on the elementary side of the street.
Where is the warehouse?
Behind the elementary school.
Behind
the parking lot?
Yes, in the parking lot.
The building in the parking lot.
Questions?
Questions?
No, I was just asking where it was.
these moves that were made, and you have to compliment the custodial staff and Matt Hudson, because I've asked them to do a lot in the summer. And believe it or not, within a week, we could be finished with the moves of emptying spaces. It's all like a domino effect. One has to be empty so you can move that to move the other one. And one of the things I used to hear from facilities was, it's an awful lot, we got a lot of things to do, maybe we have to do these things in the winter months or the summer months. I mean, December, during Christmas. My whole point is this, I haven't heard that. What I've heard is how we can get it done and what we need to do it. So I think that the whole vision and the whole thought process of our facilities people has changed. And they're exhibiting to me ownership in where we are and what we do. And I think that if you went to graduation, and Tom was very gracious when he noticed it as well, that you could see that the grounds have become more meticulous than ever before. So I know Lynn went over it quickly and did it very well, but it's a lot of work that's going on just to move those three spaces. And one of the discussions we're going to have, you know, September and October, is as the committee starts to formalize exactly where we're going with the Fine and Performing Arts Academy, what spaces are we using for that? Because I believe that if you want to do it correctly, dance has got to be part of it. We're really utilizing everything we can well. Questions at all about anything in regards to the moves that we make? Okay. You done with?
Yes.
Okay. May I just jump right into my superintendent's report? Thanks. Total enrollment, 1,518. High school, 935. Elementary school, 583. In regards to the fire drills and the safety drills, focusing on safety, I know tonight on the personnel document, I would hope to see that we will have 4 security guards on staff that can carry next year, and also to be available during our lunch period to help us with that. Not that I expect it to be problems, but anytime you have a large amount of people, I really believe that if you're more people supervising and organizing, it's going to go more fluidly. So we're seeing that. June 14th, high school had a fire drill. June 19th, they had a shelter in place. The elementary school, June 4th, security meeting. And June 13th, a lockdown drill. In regards to harassment, intimidation, and bullying, we had no reports for the month in the elementary school. We had one incident, which was not harassment, intimidation, and bullying in the high school. Having said that, any questions about those things? I'm going to move to my director of curriculum instruction. Barbara?
Okay, I'm going to combine Mrs. Kenny's report also, and just to go to that. Right now we have approximately 50 teachers who are writing curriculum over the summer. Some are brand new curriculum, some are revisions, and some are just pacing charts as we transition to the new schedule to make, you know, using the number of days and spread it out, and then add either units or materials based on how their pacing works out. At the elementary school, Mr. Roach, his transfer to be the instructional supervisor at the elementary school has taken place. He attended a 2-day NSTA STEM workshop in Philadelphia. Came back with a lot of materials, some really great ideas. He and Mrs. Graciano are going to meet tomorrow and talk about how they're going to move forward with the STEM program. If you've been across the street, you see that the media center is empty right now. So we're all excitedly awaiting to see what it's going to look like with the new STEM lab and the new media center. While this is taking place, Mrs. Graciano is reviewing the tech ed units, seeing how it all fits into the master schedule, and she's looking at the rotation so that all the general education teachers will have an opportunity to bring their classes into the STEM lab. She is, Mr. Roach and Mrs. Kokoda will be working with the general ed teachers to help them incorporate STEM into their classrooms. Mrs. Graciano is also planning to have parent information meetings before back to school night to talk about some important information and communication. She wants to talk about use of the parent portal, the e-backpack, Honeywell, and then Canvas for the middle school. As far as, I know people have been asking about when the letters are going to go out for the various classes, the language classes, the accelerated classes, the honors classes. That will all be finished in August when the class lists are finalized and letters will go out in August. At the high school, as Dr. Cajun said, we're completing the scheduling process. Mrs. Kenny will have student schedules out on August 15th. Counselors will be on hand to help students with any changes. I handed you all a copy of the daily rotation schedule. If you look at that, this will be up on our website starting tomorrow. All the teachers in the district have a copy of this. This will inform them at any day what schedule we're following, if it's an A day, a B day, a C day, and then if you look where it says regular schedule, they will see what periods are meeting that day. So if we are closed for a snow day, and it happens to be a B day, everyone knows when we come back to school, it's a C day. Okay, and on the reverse side, the teachers will have our half day schedule, our exam schedules, in services. So the whole thing's been outlined for them, and this will be up on our website for parents. And Mr. Bramley's putting this in the handbook, so this will be available to the students and parents that way also.
I missed something.
Okay.
Go back to the snow day.
Okay. Let's pick a day in December. December 11th is a snow day.
Right.
Okay, so that's a B day. When we come back to school on the 12th, we come back as a C day.
So whatever day is on this calendar is what day it is. Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Any natural disaster.
When we make up that day at the end of the year,
it becomes a B day.
It becomes a B day.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So this is the calendar.
This is the calendar.
Thank you.
Okay.
Rich Reed asked me something today, Jesse. Did he ask you? You could say yes or no if I find out what it is. This would be great with the new tablets, new laptops that we have as a startup page, if it could be this calendar.
The home page.
Thank you for that question. Mr. Reed did not ask me, Mrs. Kerensky did. And yes, we'll be able to work that out somehow.
Awesome. And also, can we put this, did I say the wrong page?
I call it the home page, but you can call it what you want.
I think we discussed it as being the desktop wallpaper in the background.
And you call it that too.
Yeah.
And also, what about the app? Could this be the thing that starts with, right after you?
Yeah, it would be on the high school calendar, so, yeah.
I mean, right after you click the warrior, could this come up?
It could be there, but too. But I think the app isn't just a student-driven app.
Right.
It's parents use the app.
We could certainly make
the app
a button within the app, right?
Yeah.
So if a student wanted to access it, yeah.
Sorry, Bob. I'm just thinking. I don't want to forget.
Yeah, I also talked to Jesse about putting this into the student's Canvas calendar. So when they click on the day to see what classes they have or assignments they have, it'll also show them that it's an A day, B day.
That's great.
Is this going to be throughout the school?
Mr. Reed had printed some out and put them up so we could see what the size looks like. It's a little small, what we have up. When you first walk in, it says he has A day, and then he has 1, 2, 3, lunch, 5, 6, 7. So as soon as the student comes in, he sees A day.
In the vestibule on the right-hand side?
You're right.
Okay.
The other things that we put up, the monthly calendar, and when I think are a little small, so we're working on that. We're going to talk about that.
So I should have said, will there be calendars like this?
There will
school?
Be, yes. Okay. We're just working on it.
And maybe on the TVs that we have?
Right.
And clocks? Can you program the clock to read the time and to scroll and say what day it is?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that.
Every time you turn it off, it means that I can't refer back to the tape.
I'm turning it on.
You said that. Oh, you're turning it on. Oh, okay, good. I need to have that because I go back to them and say, well, you said this, and here it is.
I will have to get back to you.
Be more worried about why it's turning
off.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, you just covered my next three talking points.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, that's good. Okay, we are having four workshops for the high school teachers in August, two in the beginning of August and two at the end that will help them transition organizational tactics, changing from a 77-minute to a 58-minute block. And then Lisa Kokoda is going to run two workshops, lesson planning in Genesis, because that's changed, and the use of Canvas has also changed for their courses. So right now we have about 36 teachers who have signed up, and registration is open till August, so I'm sure as they talk to each other, more teachers will sign up. The last thing I'll talk about is what we've been talking about with the alternative school. Some administrators compiled a list of students. Right now the list is approximately 14 students. We've been talking about what our graduation requirement would be and the time that the students would attend. To get the program started for the very first year, what we've been talking about is a blend of different options, because each program would be individualized for the student as far as what their needs are. So what we've been talking about is the students who would succeed by taking a course or two within the high school in the afternoon, they would go into an English or math class. And we pick the afternoon so the rotation would work for them and they wouldn't get caught in the morning and the afternoon. For the students that need a totally different approach to learning, we would have a blend of online programs with EduSeer, and the teacher who is out in the alternative school would be providing instruction also. So now, ideally, we'd like all the classes to be out there, but to start, we think this would be a good approach, trying to blend it together. After we go through a year of the program and we review it, see what works, what doesn't work, then we could offer it to the students to try and bring some students back into district. But we need that year, that startup year, to get it going. Then, you know, once we decide whether this is, we're going to do this, then we need to meet with the parents and the students, see who's interested, get the child study team if their students are involved, guidance counselors if their students are involved, appropriate administrators, and develop a plan for each student who's in the program. How will we give them the courses that they need to graduate from Manasquan High School?
Have we reached out to WAL to let them know that we have an alternative school again? Because didn't we have a co-op with WAL?
We have a partnership with WAL. I believe Mrs. Kenny has spoken with someone out there. I don't know the results of that conversation.
So we're not ready to accept outside students yet?
I think with WAL, I think it would work. I think bringing some students who've been placed out of district back in, I think we really need to have a solid program before we attempt that. But as far as WAL with their students who are still attending WAL, I think if we proceed, we could do that.
All right. Explain what the difference would. I don't understand the difference.
Well, the students that are on our list here are students who have been within Manasquan High School. They have not been referred out of district for other special needs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they have been in the high school setting. So we want to help them. Students have been placed out, have additional needs that until we have the program up and running, I don't know if we're equipped yet to bring them back. Hey, we want to make sure that we're ready.
Robert, but, if I may, mm-hmm. Go ahead, you can ask a question.
Well, my question is, if special education is driven, as we've seen, by the parent, don't we let the parent be involved in the conversation?
Yes, that was my last.
No, but I mean for the students that we're currently sending out, that shouldn't we be identifying the students that we're currently sending out that may be eligible for the alternative school, and then bring the parent in and say, hey, we may no longer have to send your child out. Mm-hmm. We have a program for that. Why do we have to wait a year? I don't understand what the year is gonna do.
Well, I think we could present to them what we have available at this point. because...
I mean, this, for me personally, mm-hmm. sitting here for as many years as I've been sitting here, I think this has been a long time coming, and I don't want to wait another year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're spending. I'll just use the word spending.
Yeah.
We're spending a lot of money
right.
on some of these outside placements, on people, on students that could be better served in Manasquan, in my opinion.
Okay. Well,
and again, my opinion doesn't matter. It's the parent's opinion that matters. But I don't understand why we have to wait a year to determine that.
I just want to make sure, I think we should make sure that what we have will meet the needs of the students we want to
But I would say, with all due respect, why would we build something that doesn't? Why would we even why would we enter into this thinking that it's not going to meet everyone's expectations and needs? Why would we do it? I got to believe we're going to have the best alternative school in Monmouth County because we're Manasquan. So why wouldn't we approach it from that angle instead of taking a step back for another year of spending another, you know, a lot of money? And I mean, you know, these windows close for these students, and this is another year that they can't be here where they should be. This is, I mean, to me, that building is an opportunity for these, our children, to be here where they belong. So I don't know, and if there's a good reason other than we're not sure, I don't know what the reason for waiting another year is. I don't want to see somebody miss out on a year of being here that should be here.
But if I may, Barbara, I think you're being extremely politically correct, and I appreciate that. There's different facets to the building of this school. We've talked about it before, and you know, for the last 2 years, I've been asking for a program mm-hmm. that we could put out there.
But some of us have been asking for this for five and six years.
Yeah. That was the reason we agreed to go ahead
yeah,
and let's
I'm with you.
Let's do this now.
So I haven't received that program. Mm-hmm. In order for us to start to have the conversation with a parent, I have to say to them, I have a take a look at the out of district placements that we have and say, okay, a lot of them are maybe behavioral management situations. Mm-hmm. We have a behavioral program now that we put into effect in the high school. Any high school with an alternative school, we have that for you. We want you to look at it because we've built this. We have our curriculum, it's ready to go. My anticipation was we could have had that conversation. We can't have that conversation because I don't have a program.
But that, oh, okay. That's frustrating to me.
Okay, it was frustrating to me as well.
Okay, well, that's not a good reason, though.
Well, it's
to
true.
Not have it.
It's true.
I understand it, but that's not, well, all right, I'm not gonna, okay.
But there's three facets to this. Build a building. And you know that we went back and forth with building a building. We had different costs. Lynn and I didn't know if we could, because it was Lynn and I focused on this, if we could do this. We did. We did it with the help of the construction management team. It's going to be done early. They did a great job with that. We tried several ways to have it built. It was built too late for us to put into the general budget a number for a teacher for that space.
So we don't have a teacher for that space?
No, not in the general budget. I have a teacher who we could put there, but then I have to take them out of the population that we already have a schedule for, and I have to hire a teacher. That's an expense, an unfair expense for me to go to my business administrator and say, I need another $80,000 to hire a new staff member. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to come to you and say, I have several students that we have now that we can take back into district, and with that savings, we now have the money I need to staff.
That we agree on.
Right. Mm-hmm. I can't say that to you.
But that we don't agree.
Well, I can't say that to you because
Well, that's the frustration.
It is.
Okay.
So I think we have to, not for this discussion, I think the question has to be asked, why aren't we there? And
well, I'm not. Well, that's
well, that's
what
back.
The word frustration means.
Okay.
That's short for why aren't we there?
Can we offer it to the parents? And can we say, listen, this is our alternative school. First year, we're offering it to you. Would you like your child to be in it? Why can't we do that?
We could.
Well, here's the other side of the coin. If I had a student that I felt was a candidate for the alternative school, are you telling me that if I came to you and said I want to put my student, my son or daughter in the alternative school, you're not going to tell them no?
I am.
And your reason is going to be what?
I can't staff it.
So that we don't have an alternative school.
That's where I was leading to. We have a building, and we wanted to be the alternative school. We got our job done. Now, unless Lynn has money that I don't know about, $96,000.
We can find some tonight. You never know.
Okay. Absolutely. I don't have the money, fair, mm-hmm. to come to Lynn and say, I want to increase our special education staff. Why special education? Because I think once you put a special education teacher there, mm-hmm. he or she can service the general ed population that we already have earmarked for students who really can't do well in this environment. And there are about 9 students who aren't doing well here but could do well yeah. in an alternative setting. Times being different, classes being different, smaller group settings. So if I have a special education teacher that's a start, then I can bring teachers from the high school there. In other words, teach 5, 1 being an alternative, like Barbara explained, and move to that. The hard piece is getting a special education teacher there. So if we can say, okay, your assignment is to be the person in charge of the alternative school, it helps, because then we can say to parents, this is the person who facilitates our behavioral program. Here is the behavioral program that we have. If, by looking at the students that we want to bring back, if that's the program we want to have, and that would be a start. But I need a program. And sitting here tonight, I don't have one to offer you. So I don't want you leaving tonight saying, hey, August, the building's done. September 1, we're starting alternative school. And I know Barbara's well-meaning, and you've done what you needed to do to take the general ed population out there. I don't have a teacher for it. So there'll be 9 children out there by themselves. We can't do that. I need to put a teacher there.
So the building's empty come September.
Unless there's some magic that somebody knows about that I don't know. So here's what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Yeah, that's
I'm
going to
sit down
yeah,
with...
It okay, can't be empty.
But
it
that is. Empty. That is where we are. So when we say a year, you can realistically look to a year to develop that, or we can look at somehow the schedules. I have 30 special education teachers in district, I think. I counted, just roundabout. If we can change schedules somehow where we can still meet the needs of our special education population and free up a teacher to move to the alternative school, I will have a person to put there. Then the rest is going to be less challenging for me once I get the person. But my goal after tonight was to look towards schedules. Now, it's July 17th. I think I still have time to take a look at the schedule and say, maybe we can free up a person for that spot. Gene, you look as frustrated as I am, but...
Yeah, that just seems, I don't know.
But what else can we do? Tell me.
Should have hired the teacher first and found a place
right.
to put him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the reason why that wouldn't have worked was because for us to utilize the funding that we did for that space, mm-hmm. I had to use the funds now. And this referendum project is going to be done by November. So it was use those funds in my mind. I thought we'd be sitting here tonight saying, I have X, Y, and Z to move over there, and I do have the money. I think it would be, I would be remiss for me to tell Lynn I'm putting a teacher there and find the money. Since we've done so much, if you look around with all the things we've done, I think we've facilitated the wood shop, which was a challenge for us. We have that now. We have the space. We didn't infringe upon art, nor did we infringe upon the weight training. We have a weight training coach we brought in. We did a lot this year to help with instruction. So that just unfair for me to think we could do that. Yes. Yes to Donna, and then
go ahead, Ted.
Thank you.
Just about woodworking, did we keep all of that equipment we had from, or were we buying all new equipment from scratch?
I would love to buy all new equipment, but I don't have the money to do that.
But and did we keep the old equipment?
Yes, yeah. And we have a list of all the equipment, what works, what doesn't work, what needs to have. Since you had wood shop, you had a lot of new regulations placed on the equipment that you use.
Mm-hmm.
And I met this morning with several people who I had the question, could I buy regulators to retrofit these machines so they meet state standards? And the answer is yes. So we're gonna move in the direction with some of the equipment. You had 10 stations in the old wood shop that you had. We found the printout. The new wood shop teacher, if he's approved this evening, will be coming in tomorrow to meet with the principal and the supervisor of facilities to talk about his vision of where he would like that, because we're setting up the wood shop, and I think he should have something to say about where it's going. He's going to look at the materials. The small tools we've kept, the larger tools we kept, and I'm in the process of reaching out to people to talk about the possibility of either grants, which we're looking at, like Kmart and Lowe's, Home Depot, any grants for any types of materials. The bigger pieces of machinery we have, and several of them still work, and we're going to see if they work effectively. So, yeah, we've kept everything.
Excellent. Okay. Do we have a bunch of students already signed up for woodworking?
71.
Oh, good. Good.
Okay.
If I could bring the conversation back to the alternative school
facility.
Part of the reason why kids are sent out of district is because we, you know, we don't have the ability to teach them.
Yeah.
Right? So with the pool of teachers that we currently have, it seems as though we are going to need teachers have the ability to teach kids the way how teachers can't teach the kids.
Yes, so you need a different environment for teaching than the one they're in, because they're finding a restrictive learning environment. They need a different one, therefore the alternative school. I'm with you. And we have 9 students in the general ed population who can utilize this.
So at the last meeting, forgive me if I might have written this down incorrectly. We use an expression alternate school, and we use an expression alternative school.
Right.
So is this an alternative school, or is it an alternative school?
Alternative.
Mm-hmm. And alternative means exclusively special education?
No, it's the reverse.
Both.
It's both. So alternate was exclusively special mm-hmm. education. Yeah. Okay.
So this covers behavior.
Donna, I'm not finished.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, I thought you were done.
And we said we had a pool of 30 teachers, a total of 30 special education teachers now?
Yeah.
Okay.
On both sides of the street.
On both sides of the street. Okay. There was a number of 49 that we used at the last meeting. And my notes said that we had a pool of 49 teachers. Is that incorrect?
I counted just recently, because of the discussion I'm ready to have,
okay.
30 teachers. Now I could be incorrect.
Okay.
Does that
include maybe the paras that are certificated?
Yeah, possibly the paras that are certificated, maybe. Maybe with the paraprofessionals, we have 49.
Totally 49. Okay.
That's a large number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is a large number.
So I there's no question it's something we have to look at, yeah. And we're looking at it.
Okay.
I mean.
Okay. No, I just wanted to be sure that I understood, that at the last meeting we had a choice to make. It was either the alternate or the alternative, and obviously we're choosing the alternative, and we have a pool of teachers now, and that pool of teachers with that pool of teachers, we don't have the ability to bring kids back right now.
Not yet. From the discussion we're having tonight,
okay.
I'm going to do my best to look at schedules, see if I can manipulate the schedules. When I say manipulate, I mean it in a good sense.
Of course.
With the director of personnel and the supervisor of special education to free up a staff member to put in the alternative school, and also develop a curriculum to focus on if we're going to be focusing on. I don't think that anything other than putting a behavioral program in there is really palatable at this point because it takes so much. We could put a behavioral program in there. I do have a teacher on staff who's taught this in another district. So it's a logical move. And I'll report back to the board, because I understand your strong feeling for wanting to have this up and running in September. But I'm not going to start something that's not going to be successful. And I think I would be remiss if I approached you tonight. I said, we have the building, I have a possibility, I have students, but I don't have the money right now to do that. Lynn and I will look at it. Maybe August is going to bring something. Maybe we could manipulate, in a good way, scheduling to free up an individual. So I'm very happy to have this discussion tonight, because I agree with you. It's something you know I've been focusing on for 2 years.
So our staff has the capability of doing it?
Yes.
So it's...
But isn't, I mean, yeah, I mean, if we're building the schedule, if you're building the schedule, I mean, I don't know, I know I'm making this seem simpler than maybe it is, because it can't be this simple. You're building a new schedule now. You can't build a schedule with the 30 or 49 people that we have. That includes somebody out in this building that we're spending $195,000 for. And I don't mean this in any way as rude as it sounds, but it just seems almost ridiculous.
I think I'm good, but I can't answer that question until I look at the numbers. I'm having this discussion with my on Thursday, and I hope to come back to you and say, what do you got? Donna?
Okay, now what Ted brought up, I'm a little confused. What the difference between alternative and alternate is one special needs and behavior, and one is behavior only. I'm a little confused.
An alternate school, which I was using the wrong phrase for.
Right. So the alternative that we're going to have is going to be special ed and behavior, or behavior
ed.
Only?
General ed and special ed. Now, when you say special ed, Donnie, you need a program. It could be a autistic program you put out there. It could be a multiply disabled program you put out there. However, I think that would be costly for us to do right away. Down the road, generate some income, you might be able to go there. A behavioral program, I think, is a little bit less expensive for us to fund, let's say that. So I think that that's more of a reality for us right now. For that.
So to have behavior only out there, I'm still not understanding.
We have nine general education students who can.
Do they have behavior problems?
They have various problems, but they're not classified.
Okay.
They have attendance problems. They have some learning problems, but not learning disabilities.
Right. So these are behavior issues. So those are the kids that are not
thriving
in this.
I don't want to say that, because then we're going to confuse that with special education needs, and they're not special ed.
Oh, see, I'm not.
There's two pools here. One's a general education pool, and one's a special education pool. We already have earmarked, because of discipline in the high school, because of attendance issues in the high school, because some students that are so behind in their credits, they're not going to be able to make it, that we have, I keep saying there's nine students. Am I right or wrong?
The list that I received is 14.
I was more comfortable with nine, but we have 14 students that we now say they can use.
They're just not thriving here and could do better out there with different ways to learn and teach and blah, blah, blah. And put other special needs kids. Okay, that's
good. But I would like to cap the population there.
Okay.
At 20. I think that's logical because of the space and because I think one teacher with 20 students is fine. A 20-to-1 relationship. Now, there might be a time you have to put aides out there, possibly, but I don't think another teacher, a visiting teacher, to go out there and teach a class, sure.
Okay. I wasn't clear what Ted was asking, the difference between the two. What is an alternate school?
An alternate school would be all special education students. An alternative school is a blend, you know, it's students, as you said, who need an alternate way to learn.
Right, exactly.
It can be special ed, general
or
ed.
Or non-special ed, right, that's what I was
vocational,
getting
vocational.
And what was it before? It was
an
alternative.
Alternate.
It was an alternate school.
It was just for special education.
I don't know what it was.
I do know that this affords us the opportunity to have students graduate from there with a Manuscon diploma, not meeting 150 credits. They can meet 120 credits because that's the state mandate.
Gotcha. Okay, now I get it.
Thank you, Ted.
Wasn't it, weren't we supposed to be doing this to bring some of the special ed back?
Yes.
To bring money back into
yes.
our district? Okay.
I agree. Yeah.
So we,
I'm
but this
you.
Year that won't, with these 14 kids, we're not bringing any money back.
Yeah, I can't bring students back because I have a program for them. I need a program.
So we need to get a program right away. I mean, we do have a program for special ed right now.
Yes, but
in our
when I say program,
right.
you need a behavioral program, a multiply disabled program with all the pieces that places like Collier are offering students. Having a guidance counselor go out there and having a social worker go out there, which we can.
Right.
As
we have
Gene put it,
district,
we
yeah.
do have, we could staff it.
Right.
The reason I can't staff it is because the staff I would use to staff it are doing other things,
other things.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. So either way,
I thought it was just that we didn't
them.
Have space, that we had originally, we had our teachers, we just didn't have the space for them.
Yeah.
Now we have space, now we don't have teachers.
Well, we do have the teachers to put there, but
okay.
if I put the teachers in A and take them out of B, I got to fill B up because we have a schedule, unless I can take them out of A and take those students and put them someplace else in the schedule so there isn't a B. But right now I have a B. Because the schedules are done. Students are placed.
Right.
It's a starting point.
Mm-hmm. So have we looked at any of our students that are out of district and said, well, maybe we can bring this one?
Yeah, I've looked at four.
You have?
I've
okay.
looked at four. But that doesn't mean anything to us.
Mm-hmm.
I need my supervised special education to look at them.
Right.
I need my child study team to look at them. That's the piece that needs to be done. I was distracted by doing other pieces. Barbara focused on the general education population, correct?
Yes.
With Don Bramley. So we do have a need.
To further muddy the waters. to what Mr. Vitale said. There is, and I believe this, so this maybe just, maybe I'm not pigeon-tailed what Mr. Vitale said. There is a segment, I think, of the student population that needs a alternative form of education that they're not getting, that Manasquan does not offer them, that is still here and is not thriving. Does that person go to the...
Yeah, they are represented by the 14 students that Barbara talked about.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But understand, 20 spaces. If you fill it up with 14 general ed, I think it's only fair that you don't say, well, now we have 25 spaces. You say 20. We have 6 spots there for to bring the students
back
to the district.
Which will probably need a different teacher, or no?
No, still having.
We still can have that. You just have to do the schedule.
Yes. That's the beauty of having a special education teacher there to start. And then if somebody graduates, now you have a spot to fill. And some students might take 5 years to graduate from there instead of taking 4. Donna?
What about putting the 14 general ed, I'm going to call them behavior, but alternative learners out there the first year, and then make it a part A, part B, and then see how that goes and integrate the special ed needs into it in the next year, where we could get the building. You have people to teach these 14 kids this year, I assume, because what about
14.
Opening it this year with that and then moving the special ed into it next year?
Yeah, I think we can do that if I can find somehow to manipulate. Bad word, please don't print it, because you can't manipulate an education, but you understand what I mean. I'm trying to look to see where I can send the students. If I can...
Coordinate.
Thank you. Why did it take you that long to get me out of that hole? If I could coordinate the schedules so we could free somebody up to put out there, I would be thrilled to start that way. And
but
then,
I mean, like you're saying, everything is a but. What about starting small with just... half of the program.
But I still, Don, I still need a teacher. Or we could do it this way. I'm good. Lynn, I need an extra staff member, so get the checkbook out. Now the problem's no longer mine. It's now Lynn's. Come on, I was only kidding. Okay. I'll be back in August.
But I'm just trying to figure out a way that everybody could be happy with it being utilized this year after spending the money. And clearly these kids are in this school now with these teachers. Why are you not able to split it and start with them?
Because some of these students, Donna, aren't attending. Some of these students are ready to drop out.
Okay.
And we want to give them an alternate placement so they don't drop
out. But if they drop out this year because we don't have that, we're going to lose them anyway.
Yeah, shame on us. Oh, man, shame on us. We're trying.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I do, and it's off topic of this.
Thanks, Bill.
I think it is.
We should probably say
it. You mentioned online studies. I don't know if it was in reference to alternative learning or online. One thing I've noticed is having a college student is the huge amount of online, even at the university. I mean, she goes to Virginia Tech and takes 3 online courses, right?
Right.
And you're like, and that's coming more and more prevalent at the college level, especially summer classes, all of that. So in our curriculum, is that being incorporated so the kids aren't, when they're getting to school, they're doing more and more online? Maybe it's not a whole class, but it's kind of incorporated into regular
curriculum. Oh, yes. Within the classroom, because of the tablets and now the laptops, a lot of the activities are online activities. The students collaborate online. They communicate with people and students in living elsewhere. There's a lot of virtual programs out there now. And then there are students who come into guidance and say, I want to take an extra class online, and they're encouraged to do so if they choose to. So there's all kinds of ways that we're using the technology.
So my point is that it's great that we're offering it, but also are we teaching them how to do, mm-hmm. how to be online students? That would be the preparation, not just taking a class,
right.
but helping them to understand how to best do it. I mean,
we're
it takes
in
a different
process
discipline
of totally revising our computer applications class, and we're adding the digital component. And the very first lesson, and because all the kids will be taking it in the fall, so that they're prepared for this, that is in the curriculum. They are totally switching that up so that they're trained how to use the computer, some kids, just, you know, we're talking that they save everything as a Word document and they just have hundreds of Word documents and they can never find anything. So that's going to be part of the class, how to create files, how to share files. And that is going to lead to, how do I keep myself organized when I'm doing something online?
Okay.
And also how to use the campus learning management system, which, you know, is...
And the colleges all have that.
It's quite prevalent in the colleges, so I know higher than.
Thank you.
Good.
Are you done, Paul?
Yes.
Thank you.
Now to focus on technology and human resources.
I covered all mine with the policy discussion. So
thank you very much for that. Having said that, I now conclude my superintendent's report.
We have a motion to approve and accept the superintendent's report. Mr. Stone, second. Mr. Catani. Sandy.
Mr. Balderman.
Yes.
Mrs. Passon.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to our public forum on agenda items this evening. Would the nice lady from the Co-Star like to be heard? No, we're going to skip the public forum then. That brings us to our Manasquan general items. Numbers 12 through 29. Does anybody need anything separated 12 through 29? Do we have a motion for 12 through 29? Mrs. De Palma, second. Ms. Passon, any questions on 12 through 29? Sandy.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassan?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to our Massaquon Sanding District general items, numbers 30 through 58. 30 to 58. Would anybody like anything separated out? 30 through 58. Of course. Anyone? No? Do we have a motion for 30 through 58? Mr. Vitale.
Second.
Mr. Warren? Do we have any questions?
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Powell.
Okay. Number 32, agreement.
32, operative sports program, yes.
Okay, so I just have a question. I know that $17,000 has been the same dollar amount for years and years and years.
Seems crazy.
So are we taking into account the increase in Atlanta Club and Jersey Shore Arena, Ice Arena? It's expensive.
Yeah.
Why haven't we raised that amount?
That's a great question.
Lynn?
We can certainly look at that.
Yeah, we should. I know I asked, maybe last year or year before, but I feel like I know.
I feel like it was 14 when we started, though, wasn't it? Didn't it go
no,
up at some
it's
point?
Always
it's always 17.
Always 17. And
we know we're paying a lot more for the ice.
Oh,
now. I mean, that's just one.
That.
That's just one factor.
Yeah.
I mean, just this one blatant one.
Exactly. And I'm sure the Atlanta Club for swimming is also expensive. So.
I think you're spot on.
Yeah,
I think that also we should see.
I mean, everything goes up, so why not?
Well, one of the things they have done for us at no cost is allowed us to utilize their facility through this. The track team goes there, I think, two times a week in the spring and also in the fall. So when I called Mrs. Smith and I asked him if he could facilitate that for us, he didn't hesitate. He said, just have your ID, call my ID, those are good. So they've been good neighbors. Whatever we needed, they've helped us with. But I don't think it's not neighborly for us to visit the cost and see exactly where
right.
we are.
See how much more we're paying.
Percentage-wise.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I think what we should do is now that, can we look at,
students.
Just hockey alone.
Yeah.
Can we look at what we're paying on a percentage basis now compared to what the hockey program cost us 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And somehow incorporate that percentage increase into this number?
Well, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I mean, because I gotta believe that track has remained almost constant, and swimming, I think.
Yeah.
Or probably, the Atlanta Club doesn't seem to raise us the way that the hockey arena has raised
right,
us.
Right, right.
So, I mean, I think a fair, if everything else being equal, if we could just maybe claw back some of the hockey percentage, it would be great. Because
sure.
It's just so, I mean, because we know this year, it was just it's a huge, over the next 5 years, we're going to pay
a
tremendous increase, and to justify it, they're going to improve the arena tremendously too. But we know that we're going to pay a tremendous increase, and we have to start sharing some of that increase. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, what's the best way to do this now? Should we not vote on 32? Should we take that out pending our discussion?
I mean, we do have another month. Why don't we? Could we look into that? Can we look into that and at least approach them with some kind of increase?
Someone wants to make a motion to...
We'll motion to table 32.
Number 32.
Yeah. So why don't we make a motion to go... Oh, we can't. We already have a motion, so now what?
Right. So you have a motion that's on the table right now, including all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can have someone make a motion to remove number 32 only.
Mm-hmm. So we need a motion to table 32?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Powell.
I will table. I'd like to table number 32.
We have a motion to table 32. We have a second. Mr. Bassan, all those in favor?
Aye.
Can we do all those in favor?
Sure.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Mm-hmm. Seeing no one?
I have one other question.
Excellent.
Number 33. I see we had to do some stuff to the basement.
Yeah.
How much have we spent on this water damage?
Might be speaking too soon because there's probably a little water damage down there right now.
That's what I'm saying. Is there anything we can do to address this instead of paying $13,000 every time we have water damage down there? It's a lot of money.
When you're talking about
how many times have
we
paid
about
this?
The basement and the
we
and
could
the
get a teacher, special teacher.
Well, which one are we paying here?
Both areas.
But I think the high school lower level is going to take care of itself
okay.
with the referendum. And Lynn and I just recently spoke because Matt Hudson brought it up to us. He feels that there are things that we can do for a capital improvement project to the basement of the administration building.
Right, because that's the one that always gets flooded.
So we can not only make it watertight, but we could also...
drainage?
French drain.
Use it, yeah, French drain, but also you have to come in and move some of that land back to make it level, because it all runs down.
Right.
And make that an area we could use for either an office or storage, or, because we do have some files that are out of the admin building, that are admin files that we have to keep for 100 years, that have taken space up in other places that I could have instruction. Mm-hmm. So, but again, it's a capital improvement project that we're going to have to look at, in my feeling, next year, not in this budget, because we're just doing so much. So to answer your question, yeah, we could. But I think the high school's going to take care of itself with the renovations.
How much was covered by the insurance?
Just over $10,000.
Okay.
If I could add, a few years back, about maybe 3 years ago, we raised the mechanical system in the basement, which was on the floor of the basement in the board office. So that's elevated now. So I know it's not, you know, it's not great to have water in your basement for any reason, but now, if we do get it, the mechanical system will not be damaged by it. Mm-hmm. We do have a sump pump. There's an underdrain with a sump pump that does work. The issue with rains, like today's rain, is the sump pump cannot keep up. If the electric goes out, the sump pump will not work. Mm-hmm. So there are still storm events where that underdrain system and sump pump that we have are not effective enough to keep up. Now, today with the rain, Mr. Hudson and myself, and we had another grounds worker come over, who was asked to come over. We were keeping a good eye on what was happening because of the volume of rain that came down so quickly. And as of right now, as of when we left the board office from our negotiations meeting, we were okay.
And that, you know, Matt and Mr. Herman were the ones, came over.
Right.
And we didn't ask them to come over. And they were off duty, and he pulled up with his son, and he came in, and I said, what are you here for? You know, Matt and I were talking about the rain, and we decided we needed to check the basement. So we went down and checked the basement, and he went out and got sandbags to put by the stairs so the water didn't run down.
Yeah.
But it gets back to my point of ownership again. You know, we didn't call him. He came in because he knew it was raining, and they talked. So, to their benefit.
All right. Sandy.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Number 59 is old and new business. Does anyone have anything they would like to discuss? We haven't been here since graduation, but graduation went very well. The place looked fantastic. Other than the compliments for the board president's speeches, all I heard was compliments about the grounds.
Did anybody hear a compliment about the superintendent's speech?
We'll move on to the public forum now. Would anybody from the vast public like to be heard? Seeing no one. Number 61, executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer, Open Public Meeting Act, NJS 10:4-6. The Act provides the Massachusetts Board of Education to hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters confidential, one of the nine subject matters listed in 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the superintendent, the Massachusetts Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Massachusetts, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Massachusetts Board of Education, the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number one, confidential matters per statute or court order, which is in relation to pending litigation. Number four, collective bargaining, which will be an update on our MEA negotiations. And number eight, personnel matters, which involve the hiring, resignations, leave of absence, and superintendent's evaluation. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Warren, thank you. Second, Mr. Palm. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it.
Let's go.
Can we have a motion to reconvene a public session? Mr. Catani, second. Mr. Pisone, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that brings us to number 62, Manasquan personnel. Recommend approval of the elementary school personnel as per document 4. That is the yellow sheet. Do we have a motion for document 4? Mr. Balderman, second. Mr. Warren, any questions? Sandy.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to Manasquan Senate District items. Item 63, personnel. Recommend approval of the high school personnel as per document P. That is the blue document sheet. Do we have a motion for that? Mr. Vitale, second. Mr. Balderman, any questions on the blue sheet? Sandy.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Number 64, be resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education hereby approves the settlement agreement, OAL document number EVS-12591-15N for the special education matter, and further authorizes the board president to execute the document to effectuate the settlement. Do we have a motion for that? Mr. Balderman, second. Mr. Pisone, any questions? Sandy.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
And we have a new number 65. Recommend approval of a tuition-free placement of the following student in Manasquan High School for the 18-19 school year. Student ID 909-370-2614, 12th grader. Do we have a motion for that? Mr. Palmer, second. Mr. Warren, any questions? Sandy.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
And number 66, resolution approving the settlement agreement in JDND versus Manasquan Board of Education, whereas JD filed a petition due process against the district based on continuing this agreement regarding the educational program provided to NDN, whereas the parties, having gone through various settlement negotiations to seek an amicable resolution to this dispute, have reached an agreement to settle the above-referenced due process matter, and now, therefore, be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education approves the terms and conditions of this settlement agreement in this matter. Do we have a motion to approve this resolution? Ms. Pisone, second. Mrs. McGarry, any questions? Sandy.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
No.
You can yell louder.
Mr. Vitale?
I abstain.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
Do we have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Balderman, second. Mrs. DePalma, all those in favor? The rest of you can step.
Good night, guys.